I wonder how many of you who are on social media have ever come across posts that promise great blessing. Do such and such, and you will be blessed. I've come across some such posts from so-called Christian sites that promise people blessing. Like this post, share this post, type in amen in the comments, and you will be blessed. And sure enough, there are lots of likes, there are lots of shares, and a whole long list of amens below. You know what? And some of those, I've even seen amens from people I know. Do this and you will be blessed. Or have you seen social media posts that talk about blessing in other ways? People who talk about good things that have happened to them and they say they've been blessed. I've seen posts where people share about news about a house selling quickly, the purchase of a new car, a job offer that they have just been given. At the end, they put hashtag blessed. And it's not even just on social media, is it? There are many people who think of the good things that come their way as being a blessing to them from God. I remember a number of years ago, a Christian friend of mine telling me about him winning $30,000 in a 50-50 lottery. And him attributing that winning ticket to God blessing him. And I remember thinking at the time, is that what blessing means? Because if it does, then that opens up a whole bunch of questions. I mean, what about the people who didn't win the 50-50 draw? Is it that God just doesn't care about them? Those of you who were with us last Sunday will remember how we heard about Jesus at the start of his ministry. And the first words that came out of Jesus' mouth when he began that ministry, can you remember what those words were? He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The kingdom of God is at hand, he said. And last Sunday, we talked about the kingdom not merely being some kind of distant other place, some heavenly destination reserved for us someday when we die, but rather the kingdom being brought to the here and now in the person of Jesus. This week, as I continue to reflect on Jesus' kingdom, and as I found myself reflecting on this week's readings, I think I've now come to a conclusion, and that is this. Kingdom living is about so much more than hashtag blessed. You know, the thinking that equates blessing with reward, that blessing follows something good that somebody has done, is not only prevalent in some people today, but it goes way, way back in people's thinking. From very early times, there was the thinking that if good things came people's way, that was a sign of God's or the God's blessing them. And if bad things came people's way, that was a sign that God or the God's were sending punishment. They were mad at that person. If you know the story of Job in the Bible, you can see that attitude in the so-called friends of Job. Remember, disaster came upon Job. So many bad things came his way. And how did his friends try to explain it? Well, they explained it in terms of cause and effect. They said that you must have done something wrong. Because that's what God is saying to you. God will punish you if you've done something wrong. And despite his protest to the contrary, that he really didn't think he'd done anything wrong, his friends were convinced that he must have missed something. Because if he were faithful to God, as faithful as he thought he was, then there would have been nothing from God but blessing. In Jesus' day, such attitudes were very much a part of people's thinking. When bad things came to the people of Israel, when bad things came to certain individuals, it was because God was displeased with them. If good things came their way, then it was certainly a sign of God's blessing. So perhaps understanding that helps us understand the attitudes people held towards certain people back in the days of Jesus. Attitudes towards those who were sick, attitudes towards those who were poor. Their lot in life had to make sense. And it must have been related to how God looked at them, how God was casting judgment upon them. That's what justified people in keeping their distance from those who were sick. Often they kept their distance from those who were poor. I mean, those who were sick or poor, it was because God was displeased with them. They were in the way they were because they had done something wrong and God wanted to punish them. And you know, such attitudes were so easy to hold among those whose lot in life was far different. Such attitudes were easy to hold among those who were healthy. I mean, it made perfect sense to them. I mean, their lot in life was because God was pleased with them. It was due to God blessing them. It was those who didn't have. They were the ones under God's judgment. It was those who didn't have who were outside of the blessing of God. So I'm sure you can just imagine the reaction of Jesus' disciples as Jesus spoke on atop of a mountain one day. The Sermon on the Mount is a very, very well-known passage, one of the most well-known passages in the Scriptures. Many people know it as the Beatitudes. I think sometimes because the words of it are so familiar, often we just kind of let the words glide right by us without us really even thinking about them. But that's not what it would have been like for the first of Jesus' disciples. Now, I can't say for sure how many disciples were there with Jesus at the time. Last week we heard about four disciples, the first four being called by Jesus. By the time we are where we are at now in Matthew's Jesus story, we haven't been introduced to any other disciples yet. So it may only be those four, or maybe the others are there with him. But regardless, I think their reaction would have been the same amongst them. Jaws would have dropped as they listened to Jesus. Likely there would have been gasps coming from the disciples. Probably some of them would have been scratching their heads in confusion. Because Jesus spoke about blessing in terms that were completely different from what people had come to understand. Remember some of the words of Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. The sense we get from Jesus is that blessing wasn't about cause and effect. Blessing wasn't based on some kind of reward system. It wasn't given to somebody because someone had done something that God was particularly pleased with. No, No, blessing, it looked completely different. Whereas the people of Jesus, they would have thought that they could have easily picked out those from among them who were blessed and those who were not blessed in a crowd, all of a sudden, a startling revelation came to the people that they'd got it all wrong. What was Jesus really saying? You know, I think our passage from Micah this morning might help us to see things a little bit more clearly. Micah was active in Judah some 700 years prior to the time of Jesus. He was one, he lived in Jerusalem, and many of the people of Jerusalem, they didn't pay much attention to him because he didn't fit in with those who were among the religious establishment. As far as many people were concerned, he was a bit of like a country bumpkin, somebody who just didn't fit in with them. But he was a prophet with a very strong message, a message to the people in the religious establishment, a message to many of the prophets of the day. Through Micah, God spoke against how many of those who were religious were living. They were abandoning living as the people that they were called to be. Sure, they were going through their religious services. Sure, they were saying their daily prayers. Sure, they said the right things whenever it was necessary. But Micah knew that they were just playing games. Their lives were no different because of their relationship with God. They were simply going through the motions, treating their religious life as though it was really nothing more than a checklist. Do this, this, and this, and God will be pleased with you. Do those things, and God will pour out his blessing. By the time we get to chapter 6 of Micah, the chapter that our passage came from today, we almost get a sense of there being like a court case developing. Listen to how the passage began. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusation. And then, for the Lord has a case against his people. He's lodging a charge against Israel. And then as the passage continued, God, through Micah, lays out before the people the way that God had already poured out his grace. Micah talked about the ways in which God had come to the aid of his people. He referenced his rescue of the people from their slavery in the land of Egypt. If you know that story, you know that it was a pretty incredible one. The Hebrew people, they were slaves in Egypt. They cried out to God, and then God came and rescued them. God sent Moses and Aaron and Miriam to help them. And in time, Moses led the people out of Egypt en route to the promised land. In that exodus out from Egypt, as far as the people of Israel were concerned, God had finally come to their aid. And yet, can you remember how long it took them to get back to grumbling once again? They barely left Egypt, and they were kind of saying out to God, we were better off back where we were. The edge of the Red Sea, they started crying out to God. So God opened up the sea, and the people walked along. Then there came a time when they were thirsty. They started complaining. God allowed water to come from a rock. Then they were hungry. They started complaining. And God provided bread from heaven. Time and time again, God acted. And even though God had acted, the attitude of many of the people was, well, what have you done for me lately? Never was God's action based on the people's faithfulness. No, God's action was based on God's grace. So in Micah chapter 6, it's as though God is laying things out before the people. God outlines the many ways in which blessing has already come. It wasn't there because people deserved it. It wasn't there as a kind of reward for a life lived. It was there solely out of the graciousness of God. And yet still, the people didn't seem to understand. Because the sense we get from verses 6 and 7 is that the people start to wonder, well, how can we get some of that blessing once again? What do we need to do? Listen to these verses from Micah. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Again, the people are wanting to go back to a checklist. Should I do these different things so God will be pleased with me once again? Because if I do these things, then I'm going to be able to say, I am blessed. Micah knew that the people weren't getting it. He knew that the words of God weren't getting through. The people were still looking at it as though it was some kind of reward based on their behavior. That it was a consequence and something they deserved. And yet as our passage continued, God through Micah tries to help the people truly understand. In verse 8, we hear these words from God spoken through the mouth of the prophet Micah. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The sense we get here is that blessing isn't about God being particularly pleased with you. Blessing isn't about God rewarding you for something you've done. Nor does it seem as though God stops with blessing, that the blessing is an end in itself. The sense we get is that while blessing is something that starts with God's grace, there's also a reason behind it. We are blessed really for one reason only. We're blessed that we might be a blessing. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Think about those things for a moment. To act justly. Notice it's not just merely about being just in your attitudes. Here we're being called to act justly. When we see injustice being done to others, we are called to take action, to intervene. Our lives are to be an embodiment of justice and equality. You know, I think we're much more inclined to advocate for justice when it's about somebody who has done something wrong. We're great advocates for justice when we think somebody should get the punishment they deserve. But justice isn't just about criminal actions. There are people who are treated unjustly for all sorts of arbitrary reasons. Through Micah, God was calling the people to act with justice, to stand up and to make a difference. And not only was it about justice, but it was also faithful living was also about having a heart that was full of mercy. That people were merciful to the needs around them. Reaching out and making a difference. Reaching out to be an agent of God's grace to others. And to do all that, holding on to an attitude of humility. Doing those things was nothing to be commended for, but merely it was just a natural corollary to a life of faith. So if we go back to our passage now from Matthew's Jesus story, to the words that Jesus said to his disciples, I think we also get a bit of a sense of being blessed to be a blessing. Jesus speaks about the merciful being shown mercy. He speaks about those who seek to be peacemakers, living as children of God. Nowhere do we get a sense of people simply holding on to the blessing of God. Nowhere do we get a sense of people saying, "Hey world, I am blessed." Since we get in scriptures over and over again is that we might extend blessing to others. That we might embody blessing in our lives. Now people could very easily say, but Stephen, you just don't understand. When I speak about being blessed, I'm just wanting to point to God and offer the thanks for the things that I have. And let me just say, I understand that. But far too many of us, far too much of the time, act as though blessing is something that's given to us. Something for us to possess. And yet never has that been God's purpose of blessing. Whether we have much or whether we have little, we are blessed. Only in so much as we have as our purpose in life to pour out blessing upon others. To make a difference in the world in God's name. I want to leave you with some questions to reflect on in the next week. In what way have you treated God's blessing as though it is something given to you because God is pleased with you? In what way have you treated blessing as an end in itself, something that you possess? What might it look like for you to embody blessing in your daily life? That you might be a blessing in your community, in your workplace, in the world. Last week we heard Jesus say, "The kingdom of heaven has come near." I believe in our reading this week, Jesus starts to point out what he was talking about the kingdom, when he spoke about blessing. Blessing isn't merely about being given something. Blessing isn't something that we possess. Blessing is about a new way of life. It's about receiving all that God has graciously given to us and redirecting that beyond ourselves to others. Kingdom living isn't about #blessed. It's about being blessed to be a blessing. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your blessing. But Lord, so often we don't treat it the way you intended it to be. We hold on to it. We pat ourselves on the back for that blessing. And Lord, we just pray that you will help us to recognize that we are blessed to be a blessing, that it has nothing to do with who we are, what we've done, but it's all about your grace. So Lord, help us to extend that to the people around us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.